Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Let's welcome everybody watching online and listening to the podcast tonight. Go ahead. Welcome, everybody. Man, we're glad you're here. Let's talk about the gospel for a minute. You know, the gospel's got to be tangible. Our faith has to be verbal. Write that down. Our faith has to be verbal. The gospel has to be tangible. See, we've got to make the gospel so real that people can feel it. Man, let's let them feel the gospel. Let's let them feel Guts Church. Man, we want our community to feel Guts Church, don't we? Speaking of feeling, how about I'm feeling some Sandy tonight. Let's welcome Sandy in here tonight. Hi, Sandy. How you doing? You know, I was corrected tonight because Cassie's got a shirt on that says, "I'm not a regular mom, I'm a cool mom." And I said, "You know, you got to be careful because there might be a shelf life to that." But then she pointed it out. She said, "No, Pastor Sandy's still the cool mom." So Sandy, you want to wave and give him the cool mom wave? Go ahead. You did not stand earlier. Come on, stand up and say hello. It's brunch week. We're tailgating this weekend. We're tailgating this weekend, aren't we? Or is it next week? Yeah, don't do anything this weekend. Okay. The gospel actually has to touch people. It touches people tangibly, but listen, and it gets to every area of our life. That's why we struggle with it sometimes. We struggle with it because we like it in some of the areas of our life, but then in other areas, it's like, okay, I don't need the gospel messing with this part of my life, this area of my life. And we have to understand that God wants to tangibly touch every area of our life. And I think a lot of people are where they are because you're not asking, number one, the right questions, but also, number two, maybe you're not even asking questions. You know, blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus after he made a big scene, stopped everything that was happening. It's like, look, everything's got to stop because I need audience with this guy. And Jesus finally just said, "What do you want?" It was obvious he was blind. But he said, "What do you want?" And he said, "That I might see." And remember, Jesus spit on the ground, made mud, packed it in his eyes, said, "Now go to the fountain and wash your eyes out." And once he did, he could see. And it amazed everybody. And I think the first question I believe God would have for you tonight is, what do you want? What do you want? Where do you want to go? Who do you want to be? These are the questions God's asking. No matter how long you've served God. How many of you guys have served God under 3 years? Can I see your hands? Under 3 years. Okay, how many of you guys have served for God for 5 years? For 10 years? How many of you guys 15 years? 30 years? How many of you guys for 30 years? Okay, so many people have served God. And you know what? We get past that point. I remember when I had revelation, and I loved it when revelation hit my life early on, because I'd get revelation and it'd be like, oh my gosh, I got to tell everybody about this. Have you ever had that kind of sensation? See, because the gospel touches our lives and we have revelation and we want to tell everybody. Man, when I saw the verse that God sent his word and healed us and delivered us of our destructions and it was in past tense, I'm like, wait a second, why are we taking the word to every hospital? What are we doing? Why are we going to lunch after church? Why are we going to dinner? Why aren't we just going to the hospital? And you know, it's interesting because now in my life, I'll go visit somebody in the hospital to pray for them and to minister to the family. And you know what? Invariably, in that parking lot, in the lobby, on a floor, in the elevator, someone will recognize me, notice me, and they'll say, "Well, wait a minute. Can you pray for my grandpa? Can you pray for my mama?" You know, I'm telling you, the world is desperate for the gospel to be real and touch their lives. And the way God does it, and I can get all cheesy and say, "We're his hands and we're his feet and we are." See, it's easy for me to say, you know, without God, I can do nothing. But let me just tell you what God's saying. Without us, he can do nothing. You know, without us, honestly, there's people who say, "Well, if you don't do what God's called you to do, man, God's going to have to find somebody else." I don't know many others of you there are out there. Man, if Brian Tyler doesn't do what God's called him to do, God's not going to be able to find another Brian. Kara, there's not another Brian out there. No, you know what? People end up suffering. People may die and go to hell. I mean, it's that serious. They've got to feel the gospel because the gospel is meant to be tangible. Man, Jesus said, "What do you want?" You know, it's interesting, after Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus, and he's on his back, and he's looking up at Jesus, and he said, look, just tell me what to do. What do you want me to do? See, it's basic questions like that. We don't have to get deep. Man, what kind of friends do you want? What kind of life do you want? Now, you're probably in church because you're not satisfied with the life you have. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not looking at anybody specific, because I know some of you guys. I know you really want better life. But you know, it doesn't just happen. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. The Bible talks about the storm hitting your house, no matter what your foundation is, the world's going to send a storm and it's going to hit your house, no matter what. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because the world's broken. The world's fallen. Mankind has fallen. Adam leased the earth to Lucifer, to Satan. So now the devil has the lease on the earth. But guess what? Man, we're inheritors. Man, God's given us everything pertaining life and godliness here on this earth. Jesus actually even said this. He said, look, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Listen, on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody say that. On earth as it is in heaven. Say it again. On earth as it is in heaven. Now you start thinking about your finances. You start thinking about your health. You start thinking about your marriage. You start thinking about your children. Man, what kind of life do you want? You know, what do you want your life to be? You know, and what we do is we kind of treat it, because we're not prepared. And I've gotten prepared. I've gotten smart. I'm married to Sandy. We will be leaving church. We'll be going home tonight, and she'll invariably say, "Can you stop and get something?" And I'll say, "Sure." Or you want to meet for something? And I'll say, "Sure." And I'll say, "What's for dinner?" And she'll say, "What are you picking up?" A day in the life, that'd be a great service. So I just got up and talked about a day in the life with Pastor Sandy. But I'm prepared now. I've got a ready restaurant on my tongue, something to drive through that'll be easy to get through. And you know what? Invariably, she'll say, no, not that. And she's got her loop. How many restaurants are in your loop? Like four? You got like four restaurants. She's got her four go-tos, okay? And I know that if we're going to On the Border, and if you guys work at On the Border, this is personal, because you get it wrong every time. We'll get a bowl of queso, and On the Border, invariably, they leave it out. And I'm like, okay, it's on the receipt. Why is it in the bag? Oh, sir, here, let me get it for you. It's like, yeah, otherwise I'm going home, and if they're eating queso at home, that's a bad. Sandy, why are you looking? It doesn't have to be you all the time that gets mad about there not being queso. But I better get back to my notes. Do you guys pray for my marriage? Because sometimes I step in it, okay? Hey, fellas in here, the first law hole, stop digging. But those simple questions like that, where do you want to eat? We've got to be prepared, because God's word brings us to a life of quality and health and healthy decisions. But listen, indecision is the enemy. The real enemy of our life is indecision. The Bible says, choose this day whom you'll serve. You got to choose. See, indecision brings us to a place where it really separates us from the heart and nature of God. It separates from the plan and purpose for our life. If you're not living the plan and the purpose of God's plan and purpose for your life, it's you could boil it down to the indecision. Why? Because indecision will produce bad decisions. But indecision's an enemy, and a lack of preparation breeds indecision. Does this make sense to you? See, that I'm not prepared, I'm telling you, man, things are gonna, after you do this long enough and you're in this life, and that's why it's important, that's why the discipleship, it's almost one-on-one. It's almost, and I don't know whether I like this term or not in this area, but I'll just tell you, it's almost like a mentor in your life, a coach in your life. Because it boils down to, right now, we're getting in the Word, and it's cracking the shell probably on discipleship in your life, you being made a disciple. But truly, it becomes relational. It goes from here to a group of people, and then it goes from a group of people maybe to a person, maybe to a couple people that speak into your life, that you're in contact with daily, on a daily basis. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys have people in your life that you talk to daily? Man, you got that are discipling, that are checking you, that are checking your preparation, that are checking your decisions. See, it's that easy, because our life, the health of our life, the health of our marriage is determined by the margins that we keep. It's always excess that brings us the pain and tribulation, excesses. But if we have margins that operate in our life, now our moderation's known to all men. Why? Because we have margins. Man, we're not spending more money than we make. Man, we're not taking in more, we're not consuming more calories than we're burning. I mean, little things like that. See, and the idea of our life is, I think, that just like our physical life gets sedentary and unhealthy, our spiritual life is sedentary way before that and causes way more unhealthiness than our physical life ever could. But it's all about decisions that we make. It's all about the really honestly practical sacrifices that we can have in our life, and it boils down to that. In James 5:12, it says, "But above all, my brethren, don't swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. Listen, lest you fall into judgment." This is strong language in this verse. You know, when one of the writers says, "Finally," like Paul did it a couple times. One time he said, "Finally, my brethren," man, what you've got to do is you got to forget those things which are behind. The Bible says, finally, do all things honorably, honoring God in everything. Finally, be strong and of good courage. See, right here it says, finally, man, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And no, in order to live this life, we have to be able to hear and speak truth. And I'll be real honest with you, our flesh can't receive truth. It's not that your flesh doesn't like truth. Your flesh can't receive truth. It's not going to equate, the truth is not going to equate into your life if you're catching everything off of your old nature, off of who you were before you were born again, making Jesus the Lord of your life. See, the dynamics of this, it's a life of faith that we live. And see, what happens in a life of faith, when we live this life of faith, that what God does, whenever you choose to trust God, has there been any time in your life where you're like, okay, I'm just going to trust God with this. I am not going to freak out. I don't care what the next bit of news is going to be. I'm going to trust God. Anybody ever been like that? Let me see your hands. Okay, what happens as soon as you do that, God's power comes into your life. God's grace comes alive in your life. It begins. There's a mushroom cloud of God's grace. Man, His strength comes in your life. And now, let me tell you, for a moment, till your next decision, you have that power available. You have that strength available. His grace is sufficient for you for that instant, till your next decision. If you take that step and you take that stand of faith and you say, I'm going to trust God no matter what kind of news I get. God, I'm not going to freak out. God, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. God, no weapon formed against me will ever prosper, but everything I put my hand to will. And you get in that kind of thing, man, it's all great until you get to that next decision. And if we're indecisive at all, what happens? Man, that's what we have to guard ourselves from. Man, it's a lack of preparation. Because see, the devil's not going to counterpunch. He's not going to not counterpunch you. Man, he's gonna throw a jab. He's going to throw a jab. He's going to throw a jab. And you know what? Then you bring the word. Guess what? He is not just going to run and hide. He's going to be relentless in your life. Your faith has to be relentless because your enemy is relentless. See, what you've got to do, here's what the Bible says. You guys want to know what the Bible says? The Bible says that you could take your house and you could sweep it clean, and you could have all the genuine love for God that you could ever want to have. If you don't refill that house with everything about God, with His Spirit, with His joy, with His peace, understanding of God's promise, the Bible says that the enemy comes back seven times worse. He's going to come back. And let me tell you something. He's going to bring familiar spirits with him. Things that you never had to deal with before that come along with the things that you've had to deal with demonically, that you've had the oppression in your life. And then next thing you know, why do you think there's so many Christians that are depressed and oppressed? Man, I'll tell you, it's as bad for a Christian to be depressed and oppressed as it is for a sinner to be possessed. I mean, if you think about it, man, if you look at it, see that you've tasted the good things of God, and then you've picked up a taste for the world now, and you'd rather partake of the world. You'd rather taste of the world. You want a taste of the world. Man, that's what years ago, before I was a Christian, man, somebody just, before text, before cell phone, somebody called and said, hey, you want to go get a taste? That means you want to go to the bar. We go to the bar, and it's not just a taste. It's bottoms up, man. And see, you got to understand, that's how the devil does it. The devil just wants you to get a little taste. Why? Because he knows that you've tasted of the good things of God. But you know, the Bible, Paul warns us about being forgetful hearers. Man, you've heard so much. How many of you guys in your lifetime, you've heard over 100 hours of Bible teaching and preaching and breaking down the Word of God? How many of you guys have heard over 100 hours? So many people, you've got enough of it in you. You've tasted the good things of God now. And now, if you've tasted the good things of God and you turn your back on it and you begin to partake of the world and you begin to taste of the world, you know what that is? That's a decision that you make. It's indecision with the gospel. It's the decision that you make to go to serve another master. And you can't serve two masters. Man, that's why the submission in our life is everything. You'll say, well, but, man, we're submitting our lives to the promise of God. That means I'm not opening any doors for the enemy to come into my life in any way. I want to keep those doors shut. We have to be able to hear the truth and speak the truth. You know, common thoughts, you've heard this before, is that you show me your friends and I'll show you my future. You show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And you think about it. You think about the people that are in your life. You think about your friends. You know, girls, I'll just tell you, the nightmare's coming up. We need men to serve in the nightmare, the build-out. And I know that it's like, well, you work all day, and you're gonna be up at the church at night. Man, girls, that's where you want them. You want them with the right people in the right place doing the right stuff. You want them building something for the kingdom. You show me your friends and I'll show you, but you might be asking, who are my friends? I think about that all the time. Who are my friends? Because that's determining what my future is. This is interesting, but what if you're the average of the five closest friends that you have on the earth? What if your life is the average of those five people? I personally believe you are who you hang around. I really do. I believe that, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals, corrupts good habits. Bad company corrupts good morals. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Pure insanity is tagging God with it. And that's where the Bible talks about, don't swear to heaven, don't swear to anything on earth. Man, don't let your yes be yes and your no be no. Make a decision. Oh, I swear to God. It's like, wait a second. What are you doing? It's like when somebody comes up and said, man, I made a decision. God told me. It's like, okay, you've sabotaged any conversation that we could have. And most of the time, that's a red flag for me in a conversation that I have with anybody. I'm not sure I can truly trust people. I'm going to say it. I'm not sure I can truly trust people that are always tagging God with their decisions to be able to make it to create a winning hand, whether it is or not. Man, God told me. It's like, okay, good. We'll see. But you know, right here, Paul says, don't forswear. Don't swear to anything in heaven, anything on earth. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do you understand the responsibility God's giving us with this verse here? Man, it's incredible. Some of our traditional religious narrative contradicts our current mission. Man, I think about this a lot. Man, when what we've done, it starts out and it's fresh, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is a win that God's brought in, and we bring in wind machines. We bring in artificial wind to make it feel like the wind that we felt when the wind of God was there. Because we get good at that. And what we've got to understand, what we've got to look at is we can't let that traditional narrative or man, what's the current mission in our life? I know we've all got to try to be cool, but man, the ultimate cool is when you're not trying to be. But see, we become Christians and then we try to be cool too, and it's like, you're not that cool. You know, you if you're not cool, giving your life to Jesus doesn't make you cool. Man, you've got to be genuine. You've got to be who you are. You know, it's like, because I know, here's what's hard, because, man, I want to be strong in front of everybody. I want to be strong in front of Sandy, my kids, our church, the community. But you know, the reality is people relate to my weaknesses more than they do my strengths. Man, I'm going through something. Man, people turn their ear and they lean in to be able to hear about it. Man, that's where the relationship really is forged. And you know what? That's where we've got to prove. If I can do it, you can do it. Man, if I can serve God at the capacity that I am, dealing with what I have to deal with, going through what I have to go through, man, you can too. See, that's the life that God's called us to live. I can't lead this church and not be in it. I'm not a CEO leader. Man, I don't treat you guys as shareholders. See, that's not how this works. We can't be leaders. And I know most of you guys, it's Wednesday night, want to be leaders in the church and leaders in the body of Christ. You can't be a leader, man, unless you participate in it. And that's hard. And what becomes hard is you have to participate fully. Man, I want to be on staff of the church. Do you really want to be? Man, the expectations are through the roof. The expectations, you can't. Man, I want to be an elder in the church. Do you really want to be an elder? Because you know what? The way Sandy and I look at this, Pastor Sandy and I look at this, this is a family meal. If we're calling it a family meal, guess what? The parents have to be there. Guess what? The kids have to be there. See, you have to understand that that's what these are. That's why elders and staff and, man, leaders in the church. You want to be a leader? You got to be at the family meal. There's kids that are coming in here. Man, some of them need to, there's people in here that need to have their meat cut up. There's people in here that need to, that are going to make a mess. They're going to spit up. They're going to be, and somebody's got to be there to help clean up the mess. See, that's what ministry is. The Bible says, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean. Most of ministry is just helping people clean up the mess they've made in their life. That's why I need Guts Church. Why? Because there's incredible people here to clean up messes. And you know what? Man, sometimes I can step in it. I just don't want to track it all over my life. See, that's why the Bible refers to the Word as the washing of the water of the Word. Why? Because you can step in it, God will forgive you, you can stand in faith, and you can trust God's Word and His promise and walk through life and not soil everything. See, because really, honestly, the things as a leader, the things you soil are going to be green pastures and fresh water. You're going to go in and foul and soil the water that lambs are going to be drinking. See, that's why we can't have indecision in our lives. We see, this is all about changed lives. This is all about us being who God's called us to be. And these changed lives, let me tell you, we've got to exhibit them in front of people. I'm here for a reason. I mean, you're here for a reason. Man, your life has to have purpose. My life has to have purpose. This is not an accident that we're here tonight. And I believe church, the summation of church is the church has to be raging. And I love that word. It all starts with us raging against ignoring the hurting and disenfranchised. Man, if you're a member of Guts Church, you can't walk by hurting people easily. We don't say things like, well, we can't help everybody because I want to. Pastor said he wants to. We want to help everybody. Oh, but you can't help everybody. Really? Show me in the Word. Paul said, you become all things to all men that you might save some. Man, we've got to look at this where we've got to pair up and reach the world for Jesus. When we show up, we're going to make a difference. Is that how you think about your life? You walk into the office, you walk into the showroom, you walk into the hospital, you walk into the shop tomorrow, you're going to make a difference. See, first of all, let me tell you, you're representing God, the church, and me. You walk in and outwork everybody. You walk in and you make them. Your production forces them to give you a raise, to give you a promotion. See, that's who we are now. We work as of unto the Lord. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they're life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. They're life to those. There's life coming into you right now. There's health coming into your flesh tonight. But see, what we've got to do, we can't. See, it's easy for me to say, you know, I got to live what I preach. No, you know what? I got to preach what I live. My life can't contradict what I'm saying. And that's true for all of us. Why? Because the gospel's got to be felt. There has to be life behind our words. Does that make sense? Man, we help a lot of people. That's what our life is. We're giving our life to helping hurting people. We're giving our life to helping people win. Because what we're building here, and there's three things, and you can write them down or take a picture of the screen. We're building faith. So now, what are we building? We're building trusted life patterns. There's a new pattern for life, and it's trusting God. We're not freaking out. Relationships. Structure, man, what our life, the Bible says that the worlds were framed by, are structured by the Word of God. So that means my life has to be. So what am I building now? I'm building faith. I'm building a structure for life. Number two, we're building community. We're building family. Many of you are here tonight because you need some family. You need somebody that it matters that you're here. What we have got to become much better at as a church is follow up with people. A couple weeks ago, 79 people got baptized. Man, a little bit of follow up goes a million miles with those people. We see dozens of people week in and week out answer the altar call and get their life right with God. They just need a little follow up. And you guys all know, you guys that have businesses, you guys that understand business, man, the harvest is in the follow-up. And that's how it is in the kingdom. I think we could sow a lot of seed. I think we're trained to sow seed. We're trained to give. But let me tell you, man, if we bring Sarah down from heaven and say, Sarah, you're mentioned in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, define faith to me. You know what she'd say? Man, you received the promise. Man, what if Sunday there's a word that helps you begin to receive what God has for you? Because see, that's what this is. It's not so much taught as it's caught. You got to receive it. You got to be ready to receive it. You got to be prepared. Man, that lack of preparation is going to bring indecision. That indecision is going to separate you from God. It's going to separate you from your spouse, from your friends. And number three, we're building a movement. That's what Christianity is. It's a movement. That's what Help People Win is. See, it's actually touching others. It leads to a tactile life, we leave an impression in people's lives. Man, I want these messages to leave a dent. Man, I want these messages for you to, man, I want to give it to you and say, hey, look, here's the stick of dynamite. Here's the fuse. Man, what you're going to get tonight is you're going to get the match. All you got to do is light this match and connect it with that fuse. And let me tell you, it's going to be explosive in your life. See, that's what a good coach, that's what a good mentor, that's what a good pastor is going to do for you. No, you know what? I'm going to lead you to green pastures, and you are going to eat till it's sufficient. We're going to lead you to fresh water. And, you know, it's not going to be like, hey, you got to eat your peas. Hey, clean your plate. But let me just tell you, what God wants is God wants you so full of Him that we're not hungering for anything when we walk into the world. Man, I know that. You know that, don't you? Man, if you leave here and you need a taste out there, let me just tell you, man, if you've tasted the good things of God and you turn your back on Him, it's so difficult. It's ridiculous. It's almost impossible in life. You never get that back. Man, so many things. We're playing catch up in people's lives. We're playing clean up in people's lives. People have driven off the side of the cliff, and we're trying to throw that rope to them as they're falling. No, you know what you're doing here? You're learning how to navigate curves. Every single one of us, we've got precious cargo with us. There's people that are in our lives. Man, Sandy knows that her life matters to people in this room, so she's got to make the right decision. So she's got to be prepared for the next decision she's got to make. You know, we can't use the excuse, well, it snuck up on me. Well, I didn't know what I was doing. Well, I made a mistake. No, you don't have to live that kind of life. The Bible talks about living a life where we never stumble. And you'll say, no, it's impossible. No, it's the life of God in Christ. I personally can't live that kind of life where I'm always stumbling. I make plenty of mistakes, trust me. But you know what? I got to prepare for that next decision so that I'm not making the same mistakes. It's not insanity in my life, and I'm not tagging God with it, making it pure insanity. Because I still, to this day, one of the initial questions that was asked me when I first became a Christian is, do you want all of God you can get? I still do. I still do with all my heart. I want all of God that I can get. I want to live such an incredible life that it influences people to want to join in that life, that it touches people. It leaves a dent in their soul that they've got to follow after it. See, because what God does is when He plants His word in our hearts, He begins to show us our hearts. So there's an aspect of it where it's like, hey, here's your heart. Are you satisfied with this? And then, you know what? And then I'm not usually very literal, but I was literal when I said, God, I give you my life. God, I give you my heart. That when I gave God my heart, okay, now I got to follow after God. Why? He's got my heart. I don't want to go through life heartless. Man, I'm following Jesus. Why? He's got my heart. He's captured my heart. Man, there's times in life where I'm making a decision and God will arrest my heart. It's like, oh my gosh. I'm on holy ground right now. Man, there's a newfound, healthy fear of the Lord that's risen in my life. See, that's what happens when our heart comes into play and it connects with God. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for these incredible people. God, that your hand's on every life, every marriage, every family in this room. God, the people that are here because they need family, God, I ask you to give it to them. God, I just thank you that you're knocking off and carving off the weirdness, God, that's repelling people. And God, you're making us magnetic and you're making us attractive to people. God, if we can do it, anybody can do it. God, I thank you for fruit and fruit that remains in all of our lives. God, I pray now for people whose lives aren't right with you. God, I thank you for people tonight that need to make a decision for the Lordship of Jesus in their life. And there's Christians praying all over the room right now. There's people praying in the spirit. There's people praying in their understanding. There's angelic hosts that are throughout this room. Some of them are just curious because they see a human being that sounds like God because his word's being preached. And others are here to perform God's will on our behalf. He's given angels charge over us.